Start your baby steps to a happy, healthy and peaceful life with a lot of self-love. Holistic Wellness with me, RJ. Hey everyone, how are you all? I hope you're staying happy, healthy, peaceful and you keep loving yourself. Welcome back to yet another episode of Holistic Wellness with me, RJ. And today, it is time for Wow, Warrior of Womanhood. And the warrior whom we are featuring today is Harjeet Kaur, a mother, a grandmother, a blogger and a beautiful human being. She lost her husband when she was 40, her son when she was 50, and she's been battling depression for a decade. And finally, when she started seeking help, she didn't decide to take help herself. She decided to share her story with the world so that she could inspire many women out there to take help themselves. She is a strong woman who would definitely, with her story, make us stronger than we are. On this Mother's Day, let's welcome Warrior of Womanhood, Harjeet Kaur. Hi, Harjeet. Welcome to Holistic Wellness with me, RJ. How are you?
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here. And I'm fine right now.
You know where I found you when I was reading your blog? It's been so many years which I've been following your blogs and I've been reading your blogs. There is a pattern, there is a graph which I've seen, like when you were at your lowest point, from there you grew to the next level and then you found yourself. That is how I felt. What do you want to say about that?
I think I evolved down the years. Mm-hmm. I was this naive, gullible female at 40, not knowing what the world is like, big bad world. And it took me a few years to even think about myself. And mm-hmm. once the children were settled and all that, I thought, at 50, I thought, my life is now starting and I have to do something about it. The depression part is, it gets me down every time. But I think I have overcome the monster that I call it. And I know how to cope with that. Evolving in the sense like blog chatter helped a lot mm-hmm. when they were writing about the ikigai. Mm. That's when I started focusing on what I want to do. And then my personal life, the grief that I have been through, that also shifted my focus from being a food blogger. And now I hardly write about food, but it's more about mental health and sustainability. And I think I will go forward with that.
Beautiful. So at what point did you realize that, you know, mostly what happens is depression. When someone is going through depression, people wouldn't realize it. So there should be some point where you thought like, no, now I have to take the next step and take help. That, which was that point?
That was very long ago. The depression is postnatal depression that became chronic. So it is clinical depression. It has nothing to do with my circumstances or people around me or anything to do with my social circle or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it is very much clinical. And I have been seeing a psychiatrist for many years. And the only good thing I would say that I did was talk about my depression. When in the 90s, people never even knew what depression was. Mm. I was talking about it publicly. Mm. One of my friends had this workshop. Her cousin had come from Chennai and we were doing a workshop on Louis L. Hay's Heal My Life. Her book has exercises that you, after every passage, you have to do the exercise. And then that's when I started opening up. Once I opened up, I felt liberated. I felt this is the thing to do. If I talk about it, I don't have anything to hide. People who are depressed, they feel that it is something to hide. People won't understand. But unless we talk about it, how can people understand and take help?
True.
The main thing in my case has been that I always seek help in any form. I just reach out to various kinds of people and have tried all the methods that are there to overcome my depression. And whenever I finish one episode, I think I come out stronger after that.
Yeah. So, in the 90s, as you said, the people don't talk about depression and awareness is also near to zero.
Yes.
So, how was you aware about, you know, taking help and where to go? And how did the other people around when you opened about depression? There could be many judgments. So, how was it for you?
People will keep judging you whether you're right or wrong. The judgments were always on. I read a lot about everything about my depression, postnatal depression or whatever it is. And I thought that when I talk about it, I feel that I'm getting better. Instead of hiding myself in my house, in one room, in one corner, I used to just sit before. But by opening up, I could get out of the house, confront people. They were uncomfortable. That is their choice because they didn't understand.
Exactly.
I wouldn't blame them because they didn't understand what it was. And nobody seeks help. People around me, my neighbors and other friends also who are going through severe depression, I used to cajole them to see my psychiatrist. And in Vijayawada, we didn't have any psychologists or counselors. So mainly I have been on medication and on and off counseling online or live. It is actually only after my son passed away, I went for proper counseling. So other than reading and talking about it, I tried all alternate methods. I tried access bars. I tried praniki, reiki, yoga, meditation. And right now, one of the bloggers told me an EFT tapping method.
Yes, yes.
That also helps. And there is another a breathing technique that I think is really very good. It is a count of 4, 7, 8, and 3. Like you inhale at 4, you hold it at 7. You exhale at 8 and hold it for 3.
Yeah, it's a form of pranayam.
Yeah, it helped me a lot. And I have actually helped many people who during the COVID and after they were having these anxiety attacks, stress attacks. Not a depression kind of thing that is lasting or anything, but just anxiety. And I think I got many of them out of that particular episode that they were going through by this technique and just listening to them.
You know, I always to have someone to extend their hands. That is beautiful that you're doing.
Thank you.
So
mainly I want to reach out to people who may be going through the same circumstances that I did, like losing my husband at a young age and not knowing what to do next, not giving up on life. That I think if I could help a few women also, that would be great.
So you have been through losses, like, you know, first your husband, then your son, which were unexpected also. It came to you as a shock. So were you prepared to face that, or how did you, if you would like to talk about it, so there's no this thing about, because I know how difficult it would be to talk about it, but if you'd like to share, how was it for you?
When my husband passed away, I was 40. I had no clue about the world. I was a pampered wife, and he really pampered me to the extent that I didn't have to go out to a bank or a post office or to get and buy groceries or anything like that. He would get everything home for me. He wouldn't get it, like he would ask somebody to get it for me. So imagine somebody like that who at 40 is just has to go out and fend for herself. Like, I had to start working within a month. Mm-hmm. I was left with nothing except the roof over my head.
Mm-hmm. And two kids.
And two kids who were studying. So I, at that time, actually, I didn't get the time to grieve, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I was in shock totally for a long time, but my son was in hostel in Vellore and my daughter was with me. My son was always close to me, but my daughter was close to my husband. And I was more worried about how she will take it. She was in the 10th class, 15. And that was a major time that she had to focus on her studies too. And I had to make her like come to me and speak to me, keep the communication alive, because it wasn't alive before that as much as she was with my husband. That and working and seeing that there is food on the table, all that, I don't know. And people around me were of no help. And I was working from morning 10 to evening 8, 9. So didn't have much time to dwell on that or what I'm doing or whether people started calling me, she's so strong, she's so stubborn, she goes out, she does this, she does that. Tongues will wag all the time. I was least bothered because I knew I have to do it. I come from a business family and women working is very rare. In our Sardar community that I know, nobody thinks of saving.
True.
I think finances is something that every girl, woman should know a lot about. Because when he passed away, I had no clue about his savings, about his bank accounts. I knew nothing. And people around me just took advantage of that. It was a joint family business. The very next day, I signed off unknowingly all the papers and everything that was there to the others. So in that way, it was a rude shock for me to start from scratch, go out, look for work. I didn't know where to look. And Vijayawada is such a place, you don't have any opportunities for jobs without experience, without any major qualifications. It was quite difficult for me to get out and work. So at that time, the grief took a backseat, I would say.
I can understand.
Life went on like that. 10 years, from 40 to 50, I didn't even realize what my life was or who I was. From 40 to 50, I hardly remember anything. Only when I was 50, I had my first grandson. And that's when I thought, oh, now I'm going to live for myself and my life is just going to start now.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I had a spine surgery, which was debilitating, and I was asked not to work full time. I was devastated. My son had just started working, and I did not want to ask them for financial help. There's nothing wrong in it, but after 10 years, I was like, I want to fend for myself. And jobless, I went into deep, deep depression. It took me a long time to come out of it. So that was about him. But nothing had prepared me for the loss of my son. It was as if God has been very unfair to me. I don't deserve this in my life. I would go to the extent to say that losing a spouse is not as painful as losing a child. For a mother to lose a young child is like how they say, I say it that way, that It's as if somebody's ripped open my fallopian tube and then cut it there. So it's that painful. It took me a long time to come out of it, and I moved from Vijayawada to Hyderabad because I didn't want to go through what I went through when my husband passed away. In a small town, it is normal. We are sardars, very few. They just wanted to point out how I dressed, how I was smiling, laughing. I'm not supposed to laugh. I'm not supposed to dress well. No socializing whatsoever. My status fell because I didn't have much of an income. I was struggling. So the friends, relatives, everybody just treated me like as if I didn't exist. They ignored me, I could say. Totally ignored me. So thinking of that, and the hypocrisy when it comes to condolences and sympathy, I didn't want any sympathy ever from anybody. I believe in empathy. Sympathy is something that you just say, okay, you lost somebody, and if you say a few words and it's over. But empathy, you have to put yourself in the place of the other person and feel what they're feeling. So that is completely lacking in India. I would make a sweeping statement and say that very few empathetic people are there in India. Seriously. They just don't want to understand. I used to see people near my gate laughing, talking to each other. And when they entered the main door, they would start sobbing loudly. I couldn't stand that. My husband's time also. You won't believe it, but we do so many rituals, no? Funeral and everything.
No? Yeah.
Part, traditions, all that. I didn't do anything for my son.
There's no point, right?
No. Because you do the part, then you have a lunch, and then people again will say, oh, the food was too good or too bad. Something or the other people will say, and it is of no consequence, doesn't help anybody. So I just went to an old age home, an orphanage, and I offered whatever I had to. So I got my peace like that. Acceptance came.
That's what matters,
right? Yeah. But I wasn't accepting the fact that he's not there. Because he lived in Mexico, it wasn't a daily communication that we had. So in that way, I used to feel that the phone will ring and he'll say, hi, mom, as he does always, any moment that could happen. And I was seeing him all around me. I went for counseling. I took my daughter also. Both of us went. She lost her dad. She lost her brother, who she was very close to. So it was very tough for both of us. And we stayed together at that time. Went for counseling. She's working full-time, so that helped her in coming out of the grief. But me staying at home, just writing, made me more depressed, actually. So this is what happened after my son, the grief. You want to know how I overcame that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Last year, the turning point was in March. It's 1 year now. Mandira Bedi had come to speak in a Fiki meeting. And my brother's daughter-in-law, she's a part of it. So she asked me to join if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
I was reluctant to go out, but still I made it there. One sentence that she said affected me so much. And the way she spoke about her losing her husband. She also lost her husband just recently, and
yeah,
how she was coping with it. That made a lot of difference. she pointed out and said, heaven or hell is right here in your mind. If you want to live in hell, you will forever be in hell because you want it that way. You want to grieve, you want to just sob and sit in one place and do nothing about it. That is a personal hell that you create for yourself. And if you want to live in heaven, you will make it a heaven. You go out, you do what you have to, and then your life becomes better. So that gave me a lot to think about. And soon after, just 1 month after, again, the sister Shivani, she came for the Fiki meeting, and she took this forward with affirmations and all that. We were 300 women in that hall, and there was cacophony. Everybody was shouting at the top of the voice. And once she walked in, within a minute, she had us quiet, calm, and almost in a meditative state. So these two, I think, were the turning points when I thought that, okay, everybody, when they condoled, said the same thing. Be strong. And I actually didn't take many calls or reply to WhatsApp messages. That be strong, it hurt me so much that in the end I started asking, do you have a pill that says you'll be strong after you take this? If you have it, please give it to me. I don't know if they thought that I was rude or anything, but it got to me, like, everybody, how do you stay strong? That's even now, it's not
a hollow line, no? Just hollow, just saying for the sake of it, be strong.
Yeah, they don't know what to say.
Exactly. Just
I wanted people around me. There was nobody around me. Just a person who's around me, I will feel better, isn't it? Sure. Instead of just saying, be strong. How can you be strong when you lose your child? And after some time, after listening to these two, I started saying, I'm strong. Seriously, I did that. The affirmation, I started taking it literally and said, okay, I accept that given the circumstances that I have been through, the struggle that I have been through, I am a strong person to not give up on myself, on life, on anything. I just have to move on, keep on going. So, in short, that is how it happened. I came out of my grief.
So, your grandchildren, they're very close to you. How did they take all these in?
They were very close to me. And 2020 was actually the best time of my life. 4.5 months of bliss. They were caught here in the lockdown. And I spent so much time with them. April, from February to July, they were here with me. April had A to Z, block chatters A to Z.
Yeah.
So can you imagine? I was cooking. I was writing about it. I was playing with my grandchildren. They were also cooking with me. We did gardening. We played. And so many other things that we did together. And I never felt tired. My elder grandson, I don't know how, but our bond is very strong. They live in Mexico. They come once a year. But it is as if there is no, that 1 year is gap is not there at all when we again are together. It is very tough on them because my son was the mother in the relationship, actually, to tell you the truth. He did the cooking. He did the cleaning. He looked after the kids. He did everything. And the kids were very close to him. It was very tough for me to get them to even talk about it.
So how did
But
they, how are they now? Have they accepted the fact or?
no, it was very tough. In December 21, when I went, it was more of, I was just trying to distract them. I went like Santa, I go at in December and take so many things for them so that they're happy for some time at least. And cooking for them and feeding them and playing with them was part of it. But now when I went last year in December, I thought that it's high time that I start talking about it openly instead of just brushing it under the carpet and acting as if nothing affected us.
Yeah, bottling
so
it
I
up
started,
will affect them as well. In the
Yeah. So I started talking about my son and about how good he was and how he was as a child, because I could see the same things in my elder grandson, the way he's curious, the way he wants to know about everything that is happening around the world. And all this I was telling him and he started opening up. The younger one was too young to even comprehend. So he says that Papa has gone to another house and he's there.
Oh.
Now he says he is a friendly ghost.
Oh.
Yeah, he's around. He's a friendly ghost. The younger one says that.
That innocence,
but,
you know, that is actually a
blessing. Yeah. It's just four. He was four when he passed away. And now, when I came back, I put it in my daughter-in-law's head that you need to take help.
Yeah.
You need to seek help.
True.
She was adamant. She didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But once I was back, she said that it became very difficult for them to cope. And they went for counseling. And I think they're continuing that. And it is helping them a lot. So it's not easy on the kids. People say kids forget.
No, they have to
people
whole
say
life. Yeah.
Time heals. Time doesn't heal anything. You can never forget a loved one, whether it's your husband, whether it's your parents, or it's your child. The degree may be more or less, but you can't say that time heals everything. The scars are always there.
So when I called you, as you know, it is for our a session, a warrior of womanhood. So we bring out the struggles of women. So as per your notion, being a woman, how much helped that? Like maybe, you know, it is said that women are emotionally a little stronger than men or whatever. So how do you view that as a woman? How much being a woman helped you?
Men are conditioned from childhood to be strong, to not let the emotions show,
true,
not cry. Strong men didn't cry. Strong boys didn't cry.
Stereotype.
But we have the, I think I would call it a buffer that we can just let our emotions out through our tears.
Okay.
That is one way. And men keep everything bottled up inside. They don't share. In many ways, I always feel that I am very proud being a woman. And even if I had to take another 1,000 births, I would rather be a woman than a man. And why I say that, when I meet, I hardly meet anybody, any male. If I spend 15 minutes with them, I know what kind of a person he is. Like, whoever it may be, from a child to a grown-up man or an older man. Give me maximum 15 to 30 minutes and I will tell you what kind of a man he is. But when it comes to understanding a woman,
true,
it is, we are so mercurial, we shift from one end of the spectrum to the other within seconds. So you never know what you're going to get.
That's actually true. Our relationships are also at different strata, as you said.
Yeah.
Losing a spouse could be painful, but when it came to your son, the strata shifted like it was a magnificent this thing, right?
Another thing I want to focus upon is, in my family and people around me, I have seen that the men are going very soon. So many in our family are widows. We are single. So that also gives me that, what are the men doing to themselves? Like, how were they raised? Why are they bottling their emotions? And just a little thing happens and heart attack or whatever, they fall ill.
Another BP, factor is, if a man is living as a widower, it is even tougher because we are
very
inherently
tough.
Strong.
Yeah. The man won't know what to do in the house.
Yeah, true, exactly.
A woman will potter around. She will talk to people. She will do something constructive at home. Cook for herself or just clean the house or whatever. But for a man, he will go to work and come back, but won't open up as a woman does to anybody. So that bottling up emotions also is very important. That, and I see that the men are not very particular about their health, whether it's physical or mental. They're not too keen on exercising or eating the right food or eating on time. That is something I've been noticing. And another funny thing is, I'm noticing now, is in my friend circle that I'm talking about, my school friends or the friends I have since I got married, all the women look much, much younger than their spouses.
True.
Maintain themselves well. And when I see the men, I'm like, how is that difference so stark?
Yeah. What are they doing to themselves?
The man must be 5 years more older, right?
Yeah.
More than that. But the difference is drastic. Just this morning, I was talking to a friend. He had come from the US. Like, we were chat friends since 2005. Very rarely chatted. But he was here in Hyderabad and I went for breakfast with him. We wanted to go for a walk, but it started raining. And funnily, he has long hair and he is 10 years younger to me. And he was graying a lot. His beard, his hair. He just looked up at me and said, "How is your hair so black?" I found it so funny. I said, "I do color it, but I don't use a hair dye. I use organic stuff." And so he was very curious to know what I did. Same thing with another friend also. He asked me the same thing. Alopecia.
You inspire a lot of people, right?
My hair is receding. So what kind of oil should I use? What do you use for your hair? How come you have long hair at
so
this age?
Sweet.
These funny things always make me feel that as a woman, I'm special.
Yeah.
Different.
You are very special. You know, or,
not like that.
Seriously.
No, each woman
is different. That's true.
Yes.
But for you, you have this. See, I was going through a PPD when I had my little one, third one. And I became more active in all these blog programs and everything just to get out of it. So that is when I met you, through your blogs. Since then, I've been following you. I've been stuck to you. You have that magnetic power of, you know, sticking people to you on a positive note, not negatively. But that is beautiful. That is, even when I asked Swarnali about a border of womanhood, she was the first one to be interviewed. And she was like, "Arjit ko interview karna." Because she is something else. That is what Swarnali told me. So you are that magical person. Maybe because you have fought a lot of battles. You're a literal warrior. So we could see that in you. That is beautiful in you.
I thought that I would be going extreme by writing about myself for the
never.
Blog
inspiring
hop.
A lot.
And but then I said, why not? Why shouldn't I write about what I have gone through? And even if it helps one woman to get up and pick up herself after depression,
yes,
and seek
I
help,
am one.
It would be worthwhile.
that's so actually a
that's why I did it.
See, charity can be done in many ways. This is also a kind of charity where you are sharing your pain and your battles and how you overcame that, your ideas, your everything you're sharing. So that's also kind of, you know, bringing, giving to the world. So that you are doing, that's beautiful.
Like I said before, my friends and family was not around for me when my husband passed away. But after my son passed away, strangely, it is as if it's a new me. They started understanding me. They started caring about me, asking about me, how I'm coping, and generally being nice. I don't know why that.
No, as you said, going through the loss of a child is always. So they might have understood that.
So I never hold a grudge against anybody for what I've been through, money-wise, financially, or friends, or whoever. Each to his own. And I believe a lot in karma. What goes around comes around. What you sow, you will reap. So I do what I think is right for me. Whatever the asana is doing, maybe right for them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I take it. In the friends, those who cut away from me, who, the perspective has to be like that. It was my dad, actually, who used to say that. And I've always thought that widows in India, even now, they're not supposed to dress well. They're not supposed to laugh. They're not supposed to take any questions. Not play holy. I was so hurt when my niece's wedding, and I was asked not to have henna on my hands. I love putting mehndi.
Even now people do that.
And and even if I'm invited for a wedding, I avoid going to the stage to bless the couple, because I know people don't like it. They say widows don't do that. For a wedding or for a child's naming, so
it's really bad. Maybe it will change.
But
time.
These things are so archaic now. So much has changed around us, but these age-old things take a lot of time to get over.
You know, when people like you are opening up about it and sharing a different perspective, I think that will, that's the beginning of a big change. That is the beauty of what you do.
But it's just a minuscule number, right?
That's also true.
99% of women
I hope your efforts will
financially dependent.
Yeah, that's true. But I hope your efforts will make, you know, at least some people to change. At least me. It affected me really deep inside. So, Swarnali, she said it affected her deep inside. So, that is like, you know.
Because, again, you just need someone to understand what you're going through, right?
True.
Depression is such, women go through so many stages in our life that you just need that empathy from other women. And we cannot do without women. That's the strangest part.
True.
We are at loggerheads when we are close. But we cannot do without our tribe. We need to connect with women. It's not as if you can distance yourself from them and live in your own island or get along with a male. It's not like that. It doesn't happen like that. There is a reason why I openly talk about mental health. It is just as essential as physical health. If you're ill in the body, you can be ill in the mind. There are chemical imbalances and neurotransmitters in the brain that get affected in some mental illnesses, like mine. I like to normalize the conversation about mental health, as it empowers people to talk reduce the misconceptions and stigma around it. People will start to seek help, they will learn to cope with their situation and recover. A mental illness is not meant to be fought alone. Imagine if a family member or loved one is going through a rough mental state. It is not easy to battle this alone, and I am a standing example of about that. We all need to talk to someone and be a support system when we're going through a rough patch in our life. The first thing I do is ask for help. Talking openly about mental health can encourage those who are suffering to seek help and find a support network. That's why I talk about it very freely. It is undeniable that when someone talks about their mental health, there will be tongues wagging, there will be judging eyes and ears. Somehow there is this public stigma of discriminating attitudes when someone talks about their mental health. There will be many people who will make unnecessary and snide remarks when someone goes to therapy. Isn't this very sad? This is what stops many people from talking to someone about their mental state. It doesn't stop me. Talk to a parent, a teacher, a friend, a sibling, a counselor, or anyone you're comfortable with. It can be a complete stranger too. I speak up about this, about my mental health, so that others will join in. Most people do not dare to speak up because of the stigma. But I feel when I or one person starts about talking about their mental health, others will feel comfortable talking too. I want everyone to know that it's normal to talk about mental health. That is how a mental health conversation is. When I help myself in return, I will be helping others suffering around me. That is why I openly talk about it.
Thank you so much, Harjeet, for spending your time with us and sharing your experience. You've been an inspiration, and I know you will continue being an inspiration and keep fighting your battles. See you on the brighter side. Thank you. And that is Harjeet for you guys. The woman, the mother who has been fighting a long battle. She lost her husband when she was 14. Her son when she was 15, she battled depression. But did she give up? No. She is teaching us how to fight the battle, how to bring up the best in herself. And she is the warrior of Monday. See you all in the next episode of Holistic Wellness with RJ. With more topics, we've been getting new suggestions like mindfulness, how to find your inner peace, and how to be a friend of your child. So many topics you've been suggesting. I will put up a poll and share your reaction very soon. Till we meet, stay happy, stay healthy, stay peaceful, and love yourself.